With a news update on 99.7 1450 WHTC, I'm Gary Stevens. One person was hospitalized after a Thursday morning fire near Nunica that is considered suspicious by Ottawa County Sheriff's detectives. First responders were dispatched to a residence off of Taft Street near 120th Avenue around 7:20 a.m. Crews were able to bring the flames under control, and a person not identified in any way was taken to an undisclosed area hospital for treatment of a minor injury. There were other persons on the scene that were queried by detectives, and after collecting evidence at the scene with the help of a canine unit, drones, and a state police fire investigator, it was initially determined that the blaze started under suspicious circumstances. No other details were immediately disclosed. The matter remains under investigation. And anyone with any information is asked to contact Ottawa County Central Dispatch or Ottawa County Silent Observer. The howls from frustrated motorists have already started, less than a week into the major road construction project of 2024 for the Lakeshore. Business 196 is getting a complete makeover from US 31 to 88th Avenue. With asphalt resurfacing, full-depth concrete joint repairs, new signs, traffic signal work, and new guardrails. On Saturday, the barricades were placed on the eastbound lanes, which will be in place through sometime in August, when the westbound lanes will be blocked off through Thanksgiving. The posted detour from the Michigan Department of Transportation is East 16th Street, through the first ward of Holland City Councilman Tim Raymond.
I've been getting emails this week because the Heights is a little bit in gridlock, and will probably continue to be for a bit, to be super flexible. And that we're teachable, that we have other ways to get around and through our city to make that happen. I found them myself today as I work in the middle of all of that. So just be friendly, drive nicely, smile a lot. And I likened it to an adolescent city getting their braces on. As an adolescent gets their braces, they go through a season of with just their mouth. And the end product is going to be great. But getting there sometimes is just a little clunky. So we have braces as a community right now.
As part of that project, the westbound Chicago Drive entrance to Business 196 west of 112th Avenue will be turned into a cul-de-sac, and traffic from southbound 112th to eastbound Business Loop 196 will need to renegotiate a Michigan turn going forward instead of a direct left turn. The other project getting less attention in the Holland area, but causing as many headaches for motorists further south, is the rebuild of the M40-M89 junction in Allegan, turning that intersection that involves five streets into a roundabout. That work is also slated to run through Thanksgiving, and winding detours are posted. A part of iconic figures along the lakeshore will get some needed repairs, thanks in part to some financial help from Lansing. Yesterday, the Michigan Economic Development Corporation announced that a $60,000 Michigan Lighthouse Assistance Program grant from the State Historic Preservation Office was awarded to the city of Grand Haven for repairs to the South Pier inner light structure. The money will allow the city to hire a contractor for rehabilitating the fixture, which would include repairing and repainting the exterior and interior wall surfaces, fabricate and install missing hatches, restore the lantern door and lantern room interior elements, and refinish stairs, handrails, and guardrails. All of these needs were initially identified in a historic structure report that the city and the Grand Haven Lighthouse Conservancy compiled 9 years ago. This work is apart from the ongoing effort to preserve the entrance light structure at the edge of the South Pier. A similar grant helped renovate the Fog House last year. The cost of the overall project has already exceeded $500,000, with funds coming from grants, proceeds from the sale of lighthouse-themed state license plates, and fundraising by the Conservancy. As for the lights themselves, they are still being maintained by the U.S. Coast Guard. The Diocese of Kalamazoo has released a list of people who are now banned from working or volunteering with children in the area. Bishop Edward Lowe says the people on the list have been credibly accused of actions that disqualify them, including sexual abuse.
In many ways, this perhaps should have been done a lot sooner. I came in July, and it has been a priority of mine since I came. It has taken us a while to get all of the research done that necessarily has to happen before this is published.
The list was released as the State Attorney General's office is expected to release its investigation into sexual abuse linked to the Catholic Church in the Diocese of Kalamazoo.
We are entirely prepared for that. And if we get information from whatever source and it meets the criteria, those names will go on the list. The truth is the truth.
Lowe says that the actions that led to those being banned include providing pornography to minors, possessing or using child pornography, physical abuse of minors, sexual abuse or sexual assault of minors, not acting to prevent abuse they knew was happening, and failing as a mandated reporter to report allegations of abuse of minors. A 42-year-old suburban Grand Rapids woman was found dead upstairs in her home after it caught on fire yesterday morning. Sarah Martin was the only person who lived in the house on Collingwood Avenue near Lee Street in Wyoming. That city's public safety captain, Timothy Poles, says they don't know yet if the fire is suspicious.
Part of an investigation like this, we're going to explore as much background information as we can gather. We are going to look into relationships that have existed in the past, and we're just too soon to say that there's anything there that needs further attention.
Martin had lived in the residence her entire life. Detroit police claim they are ready for the NFL draft at Ford Field that begins next Wednesday. Police Chief James White and his staff have been going over security strategy for the past year.
We're confident in our plan, which is built on our experiences managing large crowds such as Beyonce and the Taylor Swift concerts, the fireworks, the Lions, all the things that we did and do routinely.
The Detroit Fire Department will have 4 stationary medical tents, 6 ambulances, and more to augment the Detroit police effort.
We are committed. We are excited for our city. We are on an international stage. And I'm excited for the city of Detroit to show the world that we are prepared both with law enforcement and community to have a safe and welcoming event.
White's department is being aided by the Wayne, Oakland, Macomb County Sheriff's Offices, the FBI, U.S. Homeland Security, ATF, and Canadian Police. Emergency room doctors and physician's assistants began a 24-hour strike at Ascension St. John Hospital in Detroit yesterday. Dr. John Balling and his colleagues walked out of the ER around 2 p.m. and hit the picket line.
I'll tell you, a lot of tears were shed this morning. Nobody wanted this, but we're begging for help.
Hospital officials were warned about a possible job action 10 days ago as contract talks have stalled on pay and staffing levels. Physician's assistant Casey Culp says that the practices that they are striking about directly impact patient safety.
We're striking against unfair labor practices, and some of these practices, granted most of these practices, directly affect patient safety.
The walkout is slated to end this afternoon, and a hospital statement that said that the ER would remain open and fully operational for those in need of care during the strike. No other Ascension facilities are affected, and that includes Borges Hospital in Kalamazoo and Borges Allegan Hospital in Allegan. 2 Kenowa Hills High School students found a handgun in a school bathroom on Wednesday afternoon after classes had been dismissed for the day. Police determined it had been left there by a part-time Kent County Marine officer who was at the school to teach boater safety lessons, then had to use the restroom and left the weapon behind. Sheriff's office says that the restroom was unattended for about 30 minutes before the weapon was found. The offending officer has been put on leave. The situation is being investigated. Former Hartford Police Chief Tressa Beltran faces between 2 and 20 years in prison after pleading guilty to drug charges yesterday. State Attorney General Dana Nessel's office says Beltran will be sentenced on June 24th and will not be allowed to serve as a police officer in Michigan ever again. Beltran admitted to stealing hydrocodone pills from the department's drug disposal box after the Van Buren County Sheriff's Office left a couple of marked bottles in the box and then found several of the pills gone when they had returned. Beltran is also being sued by a man who claims that he had to surrender his pain pills to her after she had threatened to make his life a living hell if he had refused. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will be on Michigan's presidential ballot on November the 5th as the Natural Law Party nominee. Kennedy was working on collecting 12,000 signatures needed to be on the ballot as an independent candidate, but the Natural Law Party freed him from that by making Kennedy its nominee. A marketing research group poll shows that Kennedy has 13% support in Michigan. Former President Donald Trump leads with 37%, and current President Joe Biden, 34%. State House Democrats will be spending around $10.5 million on television ads this fall, working to keep their majority on the November 5th election. Nearly $8 million will be spent on Metro Detroit races, the rest of the cash going to the markets in Grand Rapids, Flint, Traverse City, Marquette, and South Bend. State Democratic Party Chair Lavora Barnes says that the party is not only focused on the top of the chain, but also claiming to be supporting all Democrats. A botched double play attempt on a Corey Seager grounder in the eighth inning allowed Texas to score the tie-breaking run as the visiting Rangers defeat the Tigers at Comerica Park yesterday 9-7. Detroit opens a three-game series in Minneapolis against the Minnesota Twins this evening with coverage from Dan Dickerson and Bobby Scales at 7:45 p.m. on 99.7 1450 WHTC. Last night's scheduled game between the Cubs and visiting Miami Marlins was postponed by weather, causing Major League Baseball to hold a day-night doubleheader between the teams tomorrow. So, the series at Wrigley Field in Chicago will begin this afternoon. Idle yesterday, the Chicago White Sox start a three-game series in Philadelphia against the Phillies this evening. Adrian Kemp's goal, 6 seconds into overtime, lifted the Los Angeles Kings past the visiting Blackhawks last night 5-4. Chicago ends its season with a 23-53-6 record. The Chicago Bulls battle the Heat in Miami this evening for a berth in the NBA Eastern Conference quarterfinals against the Boston Celtics. The Grand Rapids Griffins skate in Des Moines against the Iowa Wild this evening. Josh Crouch's Grand Slam home run highlighted a 7-run fifth inning for West Michigan as the Whitecaps romped past the Great Lakes Loons in Midland last night 12-0. The series at Dow Diamond continues this evening. Emilia Dimitrova had 19 kills with 13 digs as the Rise topped the visiting Orlando Valkyries in Pro Volleyball Federation action at Van Andel Arena in four sets last night. Grand Rapids takes on the Vegas Thrill in Las Vegas tomorrow evening. Get the latest news anytime at WHTC.com.